Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. Here are your hosts, Bill Kennard and Tom Grandy.
Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. I'm Bill Kennard, along with our company's founder, Tom Grandy. This month's program is titled, Making Customer Service Count. Tom, customer service is one of those areas where none of us can stop learning. In fact, providing outstanding customer service is what brings customers back again and again. Tom Borg provides some great tips in this presentation, don't you think?
He sure does, Bill. One of the eye-opening things that he shared was that 68% of customers that stopped doing business with a company stopped because of the attitude of one or more of the employees they come in contact with. Wow. It's the little things that drive customers away, and often the team isn't even aware of what they're doing.
Well, that's certainly true, Tom. You know, I also like the question that he suggested owners discuss with their team, which was, what is one thing that your company needs to stop doing that will help deliver outstanding customer service? Tom Borg, unlike most small business consultants and speakers, has had a variety of full-time career work experiences that include township government, university administration, corporate consulting, training and development, and straight commission sales. Today, Tom is the president of Tom Borg Consulting, LLC. He is a team performance and customer experience expert. Through his consulting, mentoring, and strategic work sessions, he assists small business owners in the area of profitability by helping them retain customers. And now, with Making Customer Service Count, here is Tom Borg with this month's Prophet University audio series presentation.
A number of years ago, I was flying back from Dallas, Texas, and my plane landed in Knoxville, Tennessee, the site of my transfer connection. Now, I wasn't really sure if my bag had been properly checked back there in Dallas, so I thought I'd better look into it. I walked up to the counter, and I noticed a gentleman standing behind it had a name tag on. His name is Harold. Now, I've often heard it's best to use a customer's name when you're trying to give better service, but it's also a pretty good idea to use an employee's name when you're trying to get better service. And so I asked, Harold, just wondering, has my bag been properly checked to the flight I'll be boarding in just a couple minutes? His response was, well, I don't know. Let's take a look at your ticket. I brought out my ticket. I showed it to him, and then he arched his eyebrows. Now, one thing I've learned over the years is that whenever a person arches their eyebrows when they're checking on something for you, it's a pretty good sign something's gone wrong. Sure enough, that's what had happened. He said to me, Mr. Borg, your bag has been improperly checked to Chicago, Illinois. I groaned and said, oh, Harold, isn't there something you can do about that? Well, he promised me he'd do his best. He left the counter. I went back and sat down. About 25 minutes later, I looked around. I didn't see Harold anyplace, so I walked back up to the counter and asked his assistant if my bag was being properly checked to the flight I'd be boarding. He said, well, Harold's working on it. That's all I can tell you. So reluctantly, I picked up my carry-on bag. I got onto the aircraft, found my seat, sat down. Flight attendant walked up and down the aisle, making sure everyone had their seatbelt fastened. I heard the door to the airplane slam shut. Now, as you know, that's a pretty good indication that the plane will be taking off very shortly. Well, just then, the captain of the airline came on, and he made his usual greeting and sounded something like this. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for flying Delta Airlines. And then he paused. And then he said something like this. Ladies and gentlemen, there will be a very short delay as we transfer a passenger's bag to this flight. Thank you for your patience, and we will be underway shortly. Now, I don't have ESP, but I had a sneaking suspicion they were talking about my bag. Well, my thoughts were reconfirmed a couple minutes later because the door was popped back open. The door of the airplane was popped back open, and onto the aircraft came Harold. He looked around. He saw me sitting in my seat and came over, knelt down next to me, and in a very low voice, very discreetly, said, Mr. Borg, I want you to know I personally transferred your bag to this flight. It will be waiting for you in baggage claim at Detroit Metropolitan Airport. Have a nice flight, and thanks for flying Delta. I had a great flight back to Detroit, and sure enough, when I went down to baggage claim, there was my bag waiting for me. It was a great ending to a great experience. Now, I like to start with that story for a very simple reason. Delta Airlines gave me a demonstration of what it meant to deliver outstanding service. And it's not just an accident that that happens to their customers today. It's because it's part of a strategy, a long-term strategy to deliver great service to their passengers. And like them, we need to have our own strategy to deliver outstanding service. So that's what we're going to talk about here today. I believe if you can do that, it will have a direct impact on your bottom line. So let's get started. I'm going to share some ideas with you. I believe if you implement them, you'll find that they'll pay off many, many times over. So let's begin. First, what's a good definition for excellent client or customer service? Well, this is an exercise I'd like to start you off on, and that is get your group together, get your team together, sit down and answer that question. What is a good definition for excellent client or customer service? Get everybody's input. Come up with a customized answer to that question. Now, I'll give you a couple insights on my end. From what I've experienced with the companies I've worked with, what we usually come to agreement on is that providing excellent client or customer service is something that simply amazes their clients, or it simply delights them. It's not something that just okay service or good service, but it's something that really goes above and beyond. So it's amazing. It's delightful. So think about that. In your client's mind, when they have a great experience with your organization, they're going to have a wow moment. That's what's going to occur to them in their own mind, is that, hey, this is impressive. This is a wow experience. Now, if you deliver a less than optimum customer experience, they're going to have what I call a kerplunk experience in their mind. It's like, this wasn't what they were expecting, and as a result, they're disappointed. So that definition is a critical place to start. Here's two questions that I'd like you to answer as far as your organization is concerned and how it delivers outstanding client customer service. First question, what is one thing your company needs to stop doing if it's going to deliver amazing service? So what's one thing it has to stop doing? Maybe it's just not answering the phone the way they have been, and that is without a lot of a professional pizzazz. It may just be something that lacks that ingredient that makes people excited about having called your organization. Maybe it's the fact that you need to stop saying negative things about your competition, because you know what they say is that when you throw dirt, you lose ground. So that kind of a negative vibration can be the wrong thing to be doing. Second question you must answer. What are some of the things you need to start doing? Now, maybe it's updating that website so it's a good experience when people go there and they want to learn a little bit more about your business. Maybe it's just starting to have regular meetings with your employees, with your team members. So you come up with the answer. Those are just a couple of examples, but the two questions are, what's one thing you need to stop doing, and what are some of the things you need to start doing to really deliver outstanding service to your clients and customers? You know, there's a professor by the name of Professor Carmichael. He had something he called the leaky barrel of marketing theory. Now, that simply states that many businesses and organizations lose their client customers almost as quickly as they gain them. So in other words, think of a big barrel, and in the sides of this barrel there are all these holes. So as soon as the customers go into the barrel, they start shooting out the sides because there's nothing there to prevent them from getting out. So that's a lot like an organization or a business's system. They might be great at attracting new business, but they can't secure it and keep it because they have terrible service or less than optimum service. So what a successful company is going to do, it's going to plug those holes and lose far fewer customers. Now, you keep hearing me use the word client, customer. Let me set the record straight on this. I was doing a program once and I asked the audience, what do you think of when I say the word customer? One of the people in the audience, he raised his hand. He said, well, I think of a one-done experience, like a nameless, faithless person, somebody that doesn't really matter that much. But when you said the word client, I think of the words long-term relationship. I think of a real person who has a family, who has employees. You see, the difference then is that a client infers a long-term relationship, a relationship where you're going to have an opportunity to serve that person over and over again. So whatever you want to call the people you serve, think of them as being a long-term relationship, someone that you want to have around for a long time that you can service in as many ways as possible. Let's look at my next point here. What are five great reasons to provide outstanding service to your clients or customers? Well, let's take a look. One of them is, it's the best form of advertising that I know about. That's right, word of mouth. That is one of the best ways to get new business. It's in a way, your clients are salespeople for you that you're not paying any commission to. You're simply just doing a great job for them up front, and they're going to do all the talking for you. So it's a great way to get new business. Next, when you provide really amazing service, you're going to be able to charge more for your services and products than your competition because you have that edge. Third, you're going to get more repeat business. Yeah, those same clients and customers are going to come back to you again and again because they want to get more of what you have to offer. Next, you're going to have happier employees. That's right. Employees like to work at a place where they don't get a lot of grief from the customer. So if you provide the environment, the policies that really reinforce the outstanding service you're trying to provide to your clients, well, there's going to be less friction between them and your employees or your leaders. And guess what? If you have happy employees, you're going to have lower absenteeism because people are going to enjoy coming to work and they'll be there on a regular basis. And finally, you're going to have lower employee turnover. That's right. The people you have will not quit because they like where they're working. It makes a difference. Oh, just one last thing I need to throw into this. It's just plain good karma. When you provide outstanding service, really amazing service, you can expect that kind of service in return when you go out and spend your hard-earned money. So these are things to keep in mind when we're trying to build that customer service mindset. My next point here, the average business spends 6 times more to attract new clients than they do to keep their old ones. So in other words, if you are spending money to get clients in the barrel and you have those holes, as I talked about earlier, that are sitting there and these clients are just shooting out the sides of them, then you're wasting your money. See, so in many cases, a customer's loyalty is worth 10 times the price of a single purchase. So what we're saying then is if you can keep that customer, that actually adds more profit to your bottom line because they're going to be buying things from you again and again without all the advertising and marketing that goes out there to bring them in the door. Now, there's a survey done some time ago. It's been repeated over and over again, and it comes up with pretty much the same percentages. And here's what they were asking. Why do customers quit doing business with a company or organization? Well, here are the numbers. 1% die. Can't do anything about that. 3% move away. Well, can't do much about that. 5% will develop other friendships. That just happens. Now, here's where it gets a little more serious. 9% will leave for competitive reasons, meaning they can get a better price someplace else, better service someplace else. 14% are dissatisfied with the product or service. So they're dissatisfied with that product or that service that just didn't meet their expectations. So that's a concern that you need to pay attention to. However, the last one, which is the most significant, 68% of the people that will never come back to your business again will do so because of an attitude of indifference towards the customer by the owner, the manager, or some employee. So very important to keep that one in mind. Let's move ahead. So Dr. Tony Alexander came up with this information for us a while back, and that is, It's something called the Platinum Rule. Now, we've all heard about the Golden Rule, and that is to do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. But at the same time, I think a better rule is this Platinum Rule, because it suggests that what we need to do is to treat our customers the way they want to be treated. Not the way we want to be treated, but the way they want to be treated. Now, that makes a lot of sense, because if you think about it, you have customers with different expectations, different needs and wants. Let's face it, you wouldn't necessarily talk to a male customer the way you would talk to a female customer. You know, there's different expectations there. Or you wouldn't talk to an older customer the same way you would talk to a younger customer. Again, some different expectations. So the Platinum Rule is just treat other people the way they want to be treated. And that would be a good method to really deliver that amazing service we're all trying to provide. Let's move ahead. Here are our six service mistakes you must avoid if you want to build your business and really provide amazing, knock your socks off service. First one. The first thing you have to avoid doing is not using the customer's name. Let's face it, it's not hard to get that customer's name today. It's either on the order or the receipt or the credit card, but we need to use that customer's name and use it in a friendly manner, because remember, there's an actual chemical reaction that takes place in a person's brain when they hear their name used in a positive way. So get that name and use it. That will take care of that first mistake. Next, not giving your customer your full attention. That is so easy to do today. So many distractions, so many things that are vying for our attention, you know, texting, phone calls, interruptions, other distractions. So the remedy to not giving your customer your full attention is to focus. Focus on that person in front of you or the person on the phone, and do not let that attention waver. You'll be glad you did. Here's a third service mistake we must avoid, and that is giving or using the words, "We can't do that." So your customer comes to you and asks for a particular type of a service or a product, and you just say something, "Well, we can't do that." Or someone else might say, "Well, that's not our policy." Well, wait a second. You do that, you're going to just create some issues with that customer. Now, maybe you might not be able to do what they're asking, but what can you do for them? So rather than telling them what you can't do, why not offer to them what you can do? There's a big difference. So if you can take care of that one, that will be very helpful. Next, discouraging the customer from giving suggestions. Too often, a customer might have an idea or a concern. Maybe it's based on the fact they've got a complaint, but they're going to offer you this suggestion. Why not listen to that, right? When you don't listen to it, you shut the door for any further dialogue with that person. So you might say something like this: "Hey, that's a great idea. I'm not sure we can implement that, but let me take it up with my team. Or let me take it up with my supervisor." You see, so now we're giving their suggestion some opportunity. And guess what? It just might be a pretty darn good suggestion that you could use within your organization. Okay, let's move ahead. Here's one of the biggest ones I've seen happen out there for most employees or team members, and that is they take a customer's criticisms personally and not professionally. Now, it's easy to take a personal affront towards a customer's criticism, but if we think about it, we just happen to be standing there that day or answering the phone that day, and that customer calls in or appears, and they're going to pretty much treat whoever they see in front of them the same way, initially at least. So the key is, don't take it personally, take it professionally, and that means seeing what you can do to fix that problem as quick as you can. Last one, too much in the workplace today, I hear people getting a little too casual with the way they communicate with their clients and customers. So the words "please" and "thank you," these words have not gone out of style. As a matter of fact, they're the little things that make a big difference. As Brian Tracy, the motivational speaker, once said, "Little things don't mean a little. Little things mean a lot." So when we think about that, the words "please" and "thank you" are very important, used appropriately. The same thing with the words "you're welcome." We don't need to be using the words "no problem" today. That's a piece of slang that got into our language, and it's used by older as well as younger employees and individuals. So what my suggestion here is the good old words, you're welcome. Much better way to finish that conversation with your customer. All right, let's move ahead. Tom Peters, guru in customer service, in his research, he pointed out there's four things that our customers or clients really want. Here they are. First, they want prompt, friendly service. So what does that mean? Well, if they're going to call on the phone, they want that phone to be answered quickly. If they go to your website, it should be something that's easily navigated. If it's an email that they are looking for, an email address, let's make sure that's available. Let's make sure that phone number is available on that website, right? Why make it hard for them to contact us? So prompt, friendly service. Next, they want you to fix the problem. Hey, that's a given, right? What we're saying here is do it right the first time. That's what they like. Now, the third one on the list here is to jiggle the system. They want us to be flexible. They don't want us to adhere stringently to these policies or these rules we've got. And here's how to get around that. You empower your employees. Give them some flexibility and the ability to handle those complaints or those concerns that the customer brings to them. And finally, if you make a mistake, fix it promptly and do something extra. Now, what I mean by that is the last thing we want to do is delay getting back to a client if there's a problem or delay in finding a solution to that problem. So the key is to be able to, if we make that mistake, to fix it and then promptly do something extra we can do to help make that situation better. So what I'm saying is it might be something like a phone call, just checking back, making sure everything went okay after you fix that problem. Or maybe it's a thank you note. Why not? Or a gift card if it's appropriate to send to that client. Small investment when you think about the lifetime value of a client, which we'll be talking about in just a few moments. So there are some ideas for you that'll help you do a little better job of putting that strategy together to service your clients the way they want to be serviced. Moving ahead. Now, I talked about the lifetime value of your customer. Let's take a look at how that can become more clear and give you a formula for figuring it out for your own company. So how about this? Take out a sheet of paper or go to the whiteboard. And this is a great exercise to do with your team members, by the way, because it really drives home the value of your customers. First thing you have to answer is, take one particular customer and just write down their name. Just name one of your typical customers, somebody you've serviced within the last month, put their name down. Next question. How much does that person spend each time they use your company's services or products? Let's say, for the sake of a discussion here, it's $1,000. Every time they come to you, they're going to be purchasing $1,000 worth of products or services. Great. Next question is, how often do they come back to you and make those purchases over the course of 12 months? So let's say they come back 6 times a year, so they spend $1,000 each time, that's $6,000 a year. Okay, how many years would you like to keep this person as a client? Now, I know in my audiences, they say, well, we want to keep them forever, you know, for 100 years. Well, quite frankly, that's not going to happen. But what's more likely to happen is if you keep a good customer, the lifespan is usually about 10 years. So let's just say 10 years. Looking at our formula, okay, the customer comes in 6 times a year. They spend $1,000 each time. That's $6,000. You keep them for 10 years. That's going to come out to $60,000. So now what you have is one customer. When they walk in your door, or they call on the phone, or they make that order on your website, that represents a $60,000 client. $60,000 lifetime client. So what we're saying is, if there's a problem with that client, isn't it worth fixing for $60,000? You bet. So this is something we want to keep in mind when we're dealing with our clients, the true lifetime value of those people. They'll make a big difference. Here's an exercise that when you use it, you'll get a new appreciation for what it means to be a customer. So here it is. It's called becoming a customer again. Anytime your client or customer comes into contact with any aspect of your company or your organization and has an opportunity to form an impression, that's called a touch point. Or as Jan Carlson, the executive from Scandinavian Airline Systems said, he called it a moment of truth. So what we mean by that is every time your phone is answered, that's a moment of truth. Let's say, for instance, a person goes to your website and they're trying to navigate. That's a moment of truth. So these are moments of truth that are making an impression on your clients and customers. You do this over the course of the day many, many times with different customers. So the key is to get an understanding of what your moments of truth are. Now we're going to take a look at that a little bit more in detail in a couple moments. But let's just, for the sake of taking the first moment of truth I mentioned, say answering the telephone. Well, when you analyze that moment of truth, on the left, if you take a sheet of paper on that whiteboard, put on the left required task actions. That's at the top of the column. And on the right, put personal actions. So draw a line down the middle. And the first point there is if you have a required task action for answering the telephone, it might be just to answer the phone and give the person that's calling the name of your company. So it might be ABC Company. Now, that would be acceptable, but if you really wanted to personalize it and make it even better so that we get closer to this business of having a wow experience for our clients every time they have a moment of truth with us, well, what we could do is when we answer the phone, that person could answer the phone and give their name. So it might sound something like this. Good afternoon, ABC Company. This is Joe. You see, it just adds a little bit more personalness to that. So if you want to take it one step further, you might say this. Good afternoon, ABC Company. This is Joe speaking. How may I help you? You see how we can personalize this? Just make it that much more of an experience that's going to be rewarding to that client. Now, remember, if you do this on a regular basis, you're going to have those little extra somethings that are going to stand out with your client or customer that will put you ahead of your competitors that don't do those sorts of things. So to summarize this business of a moment of truth and how you can become a customer again is to analyze one of those moments of truths and to look at what's required and then look to the other side of that ledger and see what you can add to that to make it a more personalized, rewarding experience for that customer or client. All right, let's move ahead. We're going to take this whole concept a little bit further, and that is we're going to call it a cycle of service. So what a cycle of service is, again, go back to that whiteboard and draw about 12 circles, 12 small circles around in a 360-degree format. So what we'll do then is we're going to actually go through the cycle of service that a client would attempt to experience as they do business with your company. So that very first circle up at the top, say around 12 o'clock there, you would put down, okay, they're going to see one of your trucks in the area, okay? That could be their first moment of truth in this cycle of service. The next thing might be is they're going to go to your website, okay? They saw your website on the side of the truck. They go there to find out a little bit more about you. Next, they're going to make a phone call. That would be the next moment of truth on this cycle of service that we're trying to create. All right, and then from there, maybe it's the way that phone is answered. Okay, maybe an appointment is set and then one of your servicemen go out to that site or one of your representatives from your company go out to that site and they introduce themselves as they get out of the car, they walk up to the door, they ring the doorbell. So there's another moment of truth. You see, so we can draw these out in a 360-degree fashion, say starting at 12 o'clock and going all the way around back up to 11 o'clock. So here's what's happening is this. You have this cycle of service. So what happens is if we have any one of those moments of truth that break down where there's a bad experience, it messes up the rest of that whole cycle. You could do everything right and get down to the final 5 yards, as some people call it, just before you complete this whole transaction and something goes wrong, well, guess what? It can have a very dramatic impact on everything else that was done that was right before they reached that final moment of truth. So there's a great exercise called the cycle of service. get that whiteboard out with your team, go through the whole, as many points as you can configure that a customer is going to go through in attempting to do business with your organization. Now, if you have questions on how to do this, feel free to give me a call. I'll be happy to share with you some more insights. So we'll go ahead now and go into our second to the last section I want to cover here today, and that is to do a customer perception inventory. Now, we just talked about the cycle of service. Well, how about this? Why not do a customer perception inventory, and that is to become a customer again? So you could have somebody, or you could have your whole team for that matter, in an exercise, go to your website and take a look at what that website looks like. Is there any improvements that can be made to that? We mentioned that truck earlier. How about going out and take a look at those trucks you've got? Are they clean? Is the signage up to date on them? Are the trucks in good working condition? Do they sound quiet when they drive up? Are they clean when they pull up in front of the home or the business that you're going to be servicing? See, the next step might be they're going to have the call in. A little back to that. They'll call your office. How's the phone answered? Let's do an inventory of how that phone is being answered. Is everyone answering the phone the same way? Or is it some people are more sloppy than others, and it creates more of a less than desirable impact on that customer calling in? If they're going to come down and visit your facility, what kind of things do they see as they drive into your parking lot? Or general signage, are you easy to find? Is the signage clear? Once they get inside the parking lot and they see the door to your building, is it easily accessible? Is there parking that's adequate, you see? Once they walk up to the door, is it clean? Is it working in a proper order, you see? When they get inside the lobby area, what are they likely to see? What are they likely to hear? What are they likely to smell? Yeah, all these things. You know, if you're using the back door to get into your building and the customer's always coming in the front door, well, you're not going to see what they're seeing. So you need to do this cycle of service inventory, this perception inventory that's going to allow you to see everything in that cycle firsthand. Firsthand, that's where we're going with that. All right, some other things you might want to take a look at are, how about your invoices? How does that look? Or any stationery, or your business cards, are they up to date? By the way, business cards, everybody in your company should have a business card. I don't care who they are, they know other people, and by just having that business card, they can pass it along to a potential prospect, and that is always good for generating more business. All right, so what else? How about this? How long does it take for your customer to be acknowledged after they call on the phone? So do they get put right to a voicemail, or are they put on hold for an indefinite amount of time? So take a look at how that all shakes out. How about this? If they actually walk in and to your premises, how long does it take for them to be acknowledged, to be served, you see? So what I'm going to suggest to you is to go through the rest of that 360-degree cycle, and as a customer, being a customer yourself, and do a customer perception inventory, and to see where there are some gaps, where there's some weak links there, and that they can be shored up. So remember this. Everyone is in the people business. So everyone in your company is in the people business. That means that they're going to deal with the customer directly or indirectly. They may deal with someone within the organization that deals with that direct customer. So the idea is we're all in this people business together. So if we can work on that, I think you'll be better off. So let's wrap it up. I got one more area I want to talk about here, and that's called the four questions your client or customer has for you, but they're never going to ask them, but they do want to know the answers. Are you ready for them? Here they are. First question that your customer has for you, they want to know the answer to. They're not going to ask you, but here it is. Do you like me? That's their question. Now, how do you show a person that you like them? You barely even know them. Well, smiling at them. Good eye contact, nodding your head, acknowledging their presence. These are all things that indicate to a person that we like them. Use their name. We talked about that earlier. It's not hard to get that name, but to use that name. That's another great way to show them that we like them. Next, number two, do we really care about them? Okay, now that's important. How do you do that? How do you show them that you care about them? Well, ask a few questions. Do you know anything about their family? Do you know anything about their business? Do you know anything about their past purchases? You see, just show them that you care about them and show a little interest in them. That goes a long ways in helping them feel cared for. Third, they have a question is, can they trust us? Well, what do we do that shows them that we can be trusted? One thing is to return their phone calls when we get a phone call from them in a prompt manner, or if we hear of a complaint, to resolve it quickly. Another way we can show that we can be trusted is to deliver what we promise, to get the job done right the first time. You see, these are things that will prove to that person that we can be trusted. Okay? And finally, the last question they have for us is, do we really know what we're doing? Now, how do you demonstrate that? Well, you show up on time. You wear a uniform that shows your professionalism. It means you're answering the telephone in a professional manner. So it indicates to them that you've done this before for other customers. You've satisfied them. You're able to do it. Do it right. And then, of course, we mentioned this earlier, but fix it right the first time, because if you have to go back again and again, it just starts to tell the person, I don't think this person's really all that good. So again, those four questions: do you like me? Do you care about me? Can I trust you? And do you know what you're doing? Now, if we can answer those four questions, you'll be well on your way to developing that trust and rapport that your clients and customers really want from you. And that's going to create that lifetime relationship. So let me finish up with a story that a friend of mine shared with me some years ago, and the man's name was Chuck Ferguson. Chuck owned Ferguson's Turf and Lawn Supply up there in Traverse City, Michigan, and he was sitting in his office one hot, humid afternoon, and the telephone rang. And on the other end of the line was one of his clients. The guy's name happened to be Barney, and he was the general manager up at the Mackinac Island Golf Course. So the conversation went something like this. "Hello, Chuck, this is Barney up here at the Mackinac Island Golf Course. We've got ourselves a real humdinger of a problem. Our one and only Jacobson's greens mower is broken down, and it couldn't have happened at a worse time. We've got people flying in from all over the country. We're going to have a huge tournament this weekend, starts tomorrow morning, and by golly, those greens just have to be mowed at 5:30 a.m. Well, Chuck knew that he was going to have to do some thinking on this one, because Barney's golf course was 3 hours away from his shop, not to mention the ferry boat ride across to the island, because over on Mackinac Island, that's just how you get there. You got to get there by a ferry boat. So Chuck thought to himself, and said, "Well, Barney, how about this? Is there any way you can get that disabled mower over to the airport that's on the island?" Now, why was he asking about an airport? It's because there are no motorized vehicles allowed on Mackinac Island. So Barney was going to have to get his employees to hook up a team of horses to a wagon and then load up the mower onto the wagon and then haul it over to the airport, which is about a half a mile away. So it's going to take some time. So Barney said he could do that, no problem, but what did Chuck have in mind? Well, Chuck said, "Barney, normally take me about 3 hours plus to get there, and I know it's here, it is almost 6 o'clock in the evening on Friday. If you can get that mower hauled over to the airport on the island, I'll get the family airplane, get my best mechanic, and the parts that he needs to fix the mower, and from what you told me, I think it's going to be a clutch finger, and we'll meet you there in 90 minutes. Well, Barney was totally impressed. Chuck hung up the phone, quickly called down to his top mechanic, and asked him if he wanted to put in a little extra overtime. The mechanic agreed, and as Chuck went to get the airplane ready, he thought to himself, this is a four-seater. I could pull out the back two seats, and with the storage space beyond those two seats, we'd have just enough room for a brand new Jacobson's greens mower. So, what the heck? They loaded up a brand new Jacobson's greens mower, and they were off. But the plane landed within 90 minutes, and as Chuck got off the plane, he could see Barney, who was breathing a sigh of relief that he'd showed up. And there was Chuck's mechanic, impeccably dressed in his blue uniform, a bright, shiny steel toolbox, just the real sign of a professional. And the mechanic went right to work on this disabled mower. Well, within 20 minutes, he had it repaired. Yes, it was one of those clutch fingers that Chuck thought it was, and the mower was as good as new. But just then, Chuck shared with Barney. He said, "Barney, there's one little surprise I brought along for you. Just to be sure that everything goes well for you tomorrow, we brought along an extra Jacobson's Greens mower. So just in case something goes wrong, or what the heck, you've got an extra mower, use both of them. You get the Greens mower just that much quicker. We've already got a truck scheduled to be out here in about 2 weeks, so we can pick it up. There's no problem there." Well, again, Barney was flabbergasted. He was just so happy. Well, Chuck and his mechanic got back on their airplane, flew back to Traverse City to enjoy what was left of the weekend. The next morning, 5:30 a.m., those greens were mowed. The course looked fantastic. The tournament went on without a hitch, and Barney was a hero. Well, you can imagine what happened was a few days later, Chuck receives a phone call from Barney, and here's what Barney wants to do. He wants to buy the mower that Chuck lent them. Well, Chuck explained, "Remember, Barney, I'm just lending it to you. We have a truck already scheduled to pick it up, so there's no problem." Barney replied, "Chuck, we've been thinking about buying a mower like this, and we want to buy yours." Well, this wasn't any small purchase. Today's dollars, that's probably about a $50,000 to $65,000 investment. But Chuck, realizing that he wanted to make the customer happy, agreed, "Okay, we'll take care of the paperwork." Now, our story doesn't end there. A few months later, there was an annual turf grass convention, and there was Chuck and his team sitting around the banquet table. From across the room, one of his competitors was staring at him, glaring at him. And after a few uneasy moments of this, this man walked across the room over to Chuck's table and waved his finger in Chuck's face. Now, apparently he'd been drinking, and the conversation went something like this. He said, "Ferguson, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you keep that Mackin Island Golf Club account. I've been calling that guy for the last 3 years, and every time I'm up there, I bring him the best scotch. We buy him the best steaks, and we have yet to win any real business from him. We don't know what you're doing, but we've tried everything." Well, just then, Chuck looked up at him and said something like this. He was rubbing his chin. He said, "Well, Leonard, I don't know. I don't know. It sounds like you're doing everything right. I wouldn't change a thing." Well, there you have it. If you go the extra mile and you really wow your clients and customers, why, you'll be keeping those clients for a long, long, long time. Thanks for listening. I look forward to being of any help to you down the road that I can be. But in the meantime, remember, great service doesn't happen by accident. It happens with a strategy. Thank you.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 877-202-8891. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 1-877-202-8891. Profit University Audio Series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-877-202-8891. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.